This Sunday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Revelation Radio unveils a powerful new program, Shadows of a Greater Reality. Not just what is truth, but who is truth?
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. It's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, joining us from New York City. And this is going to be a little bit different today, and I'm not letting David talk on purpose because of the fact that what we're going to do is we're doing this show for Revelation Radio, which, of course, is the flagship station for the Last Christian Radio Show. But David is coming out with a brand new show coming up this Sunday evening. And David, you're not joining us alone, are you? Who are you bringing with you?
No, I am not. I have gone to the far reaches of the universe where the shadows are, and I brought in a very good friend and a very good correspondent, Nestor Arce. Nestor, say hi to everybody.
Hey, everybody.
All right, so
that was a really impressive intro, by the way, JD.
Oh, thank you.
He sounds like a radio guy, right? He's got a face for radio.
Yes, so thank you very much for that. Yes, absolutely. I agree with that 100%, sir.
Yeah, so Nestor is a documentarian. Is that how what does he call that?
I think they call it anything these days. Documentarian, filmmakers, YouTubers, content creators is like the one I hear often.
Content creators, the one I hear the most. Yeah.
We'll go with that one. Everyone will know what that one is. Mm-hmm. But yeah. He does a lot of things. I'll let you tell them about, let him tell you about them himself. But we're going to be doing a show called The Shadows of a Greater Reality. And we're going to play two different parts. I'm going to be the obnoxious, self-righteous baby boomer. Okay. And Nestor is going to be the millennial searching for answers in this crazy world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The ignorant millennial.
Even before we get into it, though, even though this is going to be a new show, we're going to be talking about strictly about Shadows of a Greater Reality today. But because this is the Last Christian Show, we need prayer. So, Nestor, would you mind praying us into this week's edition of Last Christian?
Absolutely. And Lord, we just want to thank you for this wonderful conversation we're about to have. I know that we're going to talk about some stuff that's just out of the realm of what we typically talk about in church and even in normal conversations. But help us to realize that we live in a supernatural world. We're supernatural beings and we worship a supernatural creator. And so guide our conversations, bless those who are listening to the show. And bless our tongues as we dive deep into your word and into these conversations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now, for this particular show, I'm going to let basically David take over. And I'm just going to kind of sink in here to the back, and you'll figure that out here in a minute. But anyway.
Yeah, but we won't see your hat.
No, you won't see my hat much today. You know, it's going to be kind of you guys.
But, all right, well, show them your hat now so they get a feel of it.
Okay, let me. Okay. You know me and full screen stuff. I don't really like it too much, but okay. Here we go. I'll do it just for you, David. Just for you. Okay.
See, look at that hat.
Isn't that
so
awesome?
I like it better. Yeah. With sans ear muffs and then pro hat.
Okay. All right. Whatever that means. I'm with. Okay. Now well, look.
Sans means without. You know, like if you have a sans serif font.
It means I thought you meant without. If I take my hat off, everybody will see that I'm without. I thought that's what you were going.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
No.
All right, okay.
Sounds is a little
okay. Anyway, I'm going to kick this off for you guys, okay? I've got a question that I know every Christian is going to ask when they see this Shadows of a Greater Reality and they see about ghosts and all this kind of stuff. And it would be a question that, if I didn't know you two guys, that I would ask, and I would be extremely, extremely, extremely skeptical about what was going on. And the question is very simple, and that is, how is this show different from somebody that goes out and doing, like, ghost hunting somewhere, or, you know, maybe a medium, something like that? What is the difference?
Well, the difference is, you know, some people may be a medium, but our God is an extra large. So we're going to go with that. And the whole reason for this is because that everyone is, you know, curious about the spiritual world. Why is that? Because, you know, our main being is a spirit being. And that's become a problem in the church, whereas the church just doesn't talk about these things. So where else are people going to go to find these answers? The problem is when they go somewhere else to find these answers, it's always the nefarious one who's trying to give them crazy answers that aren't true. So what we do is we will hijack the conversation back. We will talk about all these shadows and the greater reality that's there in the spirit world. And believe me, they're all in there, right, Nestor?
Yeah, it's really true. And another reason as well is, you know, you go on social media. For example, last night I had a friend of mine who sent me a video from like Telemundo. And they show this like creature walking by some camera in California. It looked really weird. It was just like some creature walking in the middle of like the street at night with like an oblong head. Mind you, millions of it? No, I didn't. No, there was nobody. Ice was not following it. Yeah. But it just brings a question, like how many people are seeing these videos on a daily basis, like Christians and non-Christians alike? Now you have, you know, social media posting topics like this. You have the government talking about it. You have, you know, even people who never even believed in this stuff just talking about ghosts and UFOs and Bigfoot and this and that. And so my question has always been, even growing up, having had these experiences, is as a Christian, what is my position in this? Like, what's my position on this? And I think in this show, we're going to be exploring what it is that these things are and how they fit into the greater creation narrative. So I'm really, really excited to just dive deep into just these really taboo subjects and kind of just expose the light and really just point people to the truth. You know, for the motto of our show is, who is truth?
Yeah, I just real quick, I noticed you've got the tagline, I guess, for lack of a better word, not just what is truth, but who is truth? So right. I'm assuming that you're pushing that back over toward the Lord God Almighty up there. Now, are you going to have guests, or how's it going to work?
Oh, you want to tell them, David? We got a couple of big guests. Oh, yeah. Already booked.
Yeah, we already have lined up. Some of you may know Mondo Gonzalez, Derek Gilbert, L.A. Marzulli is going to be on there. We'll have Chris Taylor from Don't Let Them Burn. And Danny Zimmerman is actually going to be a regular on the show just because of what he can bring. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And we have a number of others that are lined up, not just your standard, you know, mainstream Christian folks that get on the air and tell jokes about, you know, Peter at the gates. I got a good one about that. No, I'll tell you later. So, yeah, not just, you know, people with itching ears. We're going to find out what the truth is, and we're going to find out some of these people. We're going to ask. There's a handful more that we have to get confirmation from, but believe me, we're going to have a great lineup of guests that are in this realm. It's going to be fun.
It sounds like it. It sounds like you've already lined up some winners there for sure. Most of those we've had on here on The Last Christian, and they were always excellent guests. Nestor, for me, you know, being somebody from way back there, you know, I'm older than dirt. About the only conversation.
When JD went to school, they didn't have history.
Yeah, we kind of made it. But really, our generation did sort of make it. I could get into that. But anyway, about the only thing I'd ever heard of as a kid was Bigfoot. Okay, Bigfoot was a big topic. And UFOs, if you were talking about UFOs in my generation, you needed to go to the nut house. Okay? Yeah. Nobody bought it. Nowadays, I'm hearing nothing but, you know, all these different UFO sightings. If you're, you know, David's familiar with just a few months ago when they were looking at them basically every night in the Northeast. And I'm just wondering, how this all plays into Bible scripture, because I know it does. It's just, you know, and I'm sure you guys are going to cover it. I don't want to, you know, have you blow your shows or anything like that, but if you can just give a little bit of a brief synopsis of what people can expect to hear about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting. Where I always like to refer to scripture, right? It says that in the last days we shall see signs in the heavens. And I do think that the UFO phenomenon does play into that. I think there is a little more than just the UFOs, but I do believe that it does play into that. I also like to look back into like the book of Exodus, for example, when the Israelis and the Jewish were running away from the Pharaohs while they were escaping the Egyptians, they saw a pillar of fire, right? Like when you read that in scripture, like this pillar of fire and just the way it behaves so unnaturally just really makes you think, is there some sort of sentience behind that object? Like what really is that? So those are just kind of just some brief, I guess like little excerpts of how we're going to be taking the show into. What about you, David? What do you think?
Yeah, what you got to recognize is that if the devil wants to keep you away from something, he'll make you throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. So, last year I did a presentation on the Maserath. There were originally all of the stars and the constellations told a story, and the story was about creation. Okay, now if you just look out there and you look at the stars, you're like, I don't see any pictures. It's not like a connected dot thing when you're a kid and you go, oh, that's an elephant, I could tell. No, you look at them and there's nothing there. So where did all these stories come from? And those stories tell the story of creation by these constellations themselves, by these sub-constellations, and by the individual names of the stars. They were all named on purpose. Bible says God named all the stars. Now, you know, we tend to think, which he probably did, you know, and just as a side note, there are enough stars that we already know about for every single human being on the planet to own 11 trillion stars. So there's quite a few. And he named them all, it says. But I think it's even more than that. What it says is he named all the ones that is talking about the prophecy that's coming in, and he named them for a reason. But the church says, oh no, that's astrology, you can't get into that. Well, the problem is that's where the devil wins. You see, and he always said, did God really say that? And the word wicked, as we, you know, we're going to reiterate again here today, wicked means to twist, like a wicker basket. That word wicked doesn't mean he came up with something new, because Satan has no creative ability whatsoever. Okay, he's not a human being and he's not like God. He can't create anything new. He can't come up with a new thought. The only thing he can do is twist existing thoughts. So he'll take the Maserath and twist it and say, oh, it's all about you and these special fallen angels and all this other stuff. So he'll twist it. Well, our job is to untwist that and bring that back to what is the truth. Same thing with the aliens. The aliens, oh, look, they're creatures. They must be from another planet. No, they're interdimensional. They're called fallen angels. Some of them are demons. Okay, we're going to get into that. So that's really what we're at, is to recognize that Satan does not have any power to create any new thoughts. So the thoughts that he is creating, let's untwist those so we can again explore all of God's creation and bring it back to the truth of what is the truth and ultimately who is the truth.
Well, you know, I saw, David, somebody was talking about the star situation, you know, mm-hmm. and I guess it was an asteroid, really. It flew by the Earth on Sunday, I believe, and they said it was 1.5 times the distance between the Earth and the Moon. So, mm-hmm. you know, it was supposed to be like a really close, you know, close miss, right?
Yep,
but they said that they measured the thing to figure out, you know, how they would battle something like this in the future. But I guess my question for you guys is, now, David, you were talking about the astrology part, you know, and I think there's two terms for it, and I always get them wrong, astrology and something.
Astronomy and astrology.
Astronomy and astrology. I always get that messed up. And, you know, anybody, please, if you see me make that mistake, understand it is just a mistake. I mm-hmm. want, you know.
Yeah, we'll make fun of them for you.
Yeah, because, you know, Mondo studies the stars. And
yes.
He takes a lot of pictures. David showed me several of them. But do you think that the
There's
early.
One behind me, actually.
Yeah, early man, you know, back in the time of Genesis, you didn't have lights. So at night, the sky lit up, you know, and out here in the country, we get a lot of, you know, I can see the stars a heck of a lot better than I could in Dallas, that's for sure. You know, but do you think that we're getting closer to people understanding what's going on with the stars or further away? I mean, my personal opinion is that, you know, they've taken it and they've, I hate to use the term, but I will, bastardized it. You know, so what do you think about that, both of you?
It's both. Go ahead, Nestor.
Yeah. Actually, why don't you go ahead?
And okay, because thoughts. No. Yeah, it's actually both. There's an adage, you know, in the days when the darkness gets darker, the brightness gets brighter. And the candle, you know, shines. It will shine really bright at night. You light a candle during the day, you're not going to be able to see it real good, but you light it at night and light up the whole room. And that's what's happening. So as it gets darker and darker out there, there are people who will misunderstand it, misconstrue it, and do worse and worse. But then there are those who will see more and more of the light and the truth of it. So a greater separation. And that's indicative of the end of the age as well, because he said, basically, the Bible says you will be on one side or the other, and you'll know you are on Jesus' side or you're not on Jesus' side. All these other, oh, what about all these other religions? No, they're all the same. They're all not Jesus. And that's where we're headed. That's why it is both. It will get brighter and darker simultaneously.
Okay, and Nestor, I'm going to change up the question just a slight bit here, and I'm going to ask it in the same form of UFOs. And, you know, all the supposed supernatural stuff out there. Do you believe that this is a clear sign of the end of time?
I believe so. I believe that everything that was designed by the Lord, and if it's under his creation, everything in creation speaks to us in some form or way. Like when you go out, you know, into nature and you just sit still. At least when I go to the countryside where I live at, or not where I live at, but when I visit my family in Puerto Rico, I just go out into the countryside and I just stand on top of the mountain for just a couple of minutes and I listen to the wind howling. I'll look up at the stars, you know, and I just really feel just the presence of the Lord there. And it's a complete contrast, like when you're in the city where we're at right now in New York, where you don't really have that much of a, I guess, that sensory connection. And it's really, really difficult for, I guess, people to just go up and look at the stars and sort of make that spiritual connection, if you kind of get my what I'm just trying to say. So I feel like there's a correlation between, I guess, a natural made environment, which I think what comes from the Lord, and then there's something that I guess like something that is dark and that is probably inspired by something much darker. And I don't know if I want to fully make that connection between like just living in urban environments, but yeah, I do believe that there is a separation there, a sensory separation, also a spiritual separation there.
Well, I think, you know, you've got a spiritual separation. I don't think there's any doubt at all about that. When you look at the generation now, and Nestor, you're closer to that generation than I am. I'm, you know, but so many people are agnostic. I don't see a lot of people that call themselves atheists. That's, you know, basically the communist, for lack of a better word, that really go that far. But there's a lot of agnostics, and it seems to be in the younger generation than in my generation, or maybe even David's, you know. So how do you go about combating that, and do you think that that's going to be a part of your show to try to combat some of that stuff?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because David and I were having this conversation a while back, and we were talking about like the simulation theory, right? Everyone wants to bring about the simulation, and just like maybe 20, 30 years ago, like atheism was like running so rampant. And nobody was willing, at least from that camp, was willing to acknowledge intelligent creation. now you flash forward back to 2024, 2025, and you have guys like Elon Musk, who many can argue is probably the greatest mind of our time. Now he's kind of just like saying, oh, well, I don't believe in Jesus, but yeah, like I believe that there's like some sort of, you know, intelligent design. They won't call it intelligent design. They'll call it simulation theory. And they'll even acknowledge the fact that there has to be some sort of architect behind the simulation, but they won't acknowledge Christ. They won't acknowledge scripture. They won't acknowledge God. And I think that's, I feel like the conversation has gotten probably a little easier because you're seeing people sort of like going to that halfway point, but then our job is sort of to just push them the rest of the way. It's like, no, this architect is, you know, he is a person, this is God, Son is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and everything that, you know, concerns the supposed simulation, which is really God's creation, is in scripture and it's all around us.
Yeah, David, you want to add to that?
Yeah, actually, the smartest guy in the world, some Chinese guy, Sung Young Lin or something like that. Anyway, sure. He literally has the highest IQ in the world, and he promotes Jesus every day, and he said he could prove it with a quantum mechanics like we do here on the show, and quantum physics, and he could prove that the Bible is 100% true through the history and all this stuff. So he studied the entire history of it, and that's really exciting. What's very interesting about Musk, he's more savant than high IQ, but that allows him to do a lot more things than the average person. But here's the fun part. Grok 4.0 has now concluded that the only supposition is that there is God the creator.
Okay, I hadn't seen that's cool.
Yeah, that's a good one. It just came out like a couple of days ago. Grok has a conversation, and Grok proved that there's a creator.
I wonder if its creator, Mr. Musk, agrees with that now. I'd be interested.
Well, we always pray for him. Old chip in the head, go to Mars guy. I like him. I just don't like the stuff he's promoting.
All right, guys. I got to do this at least once a show, Nestor. This is for The Last Christian, of course. And, here at The Last Christian, we do rely 100% on your support to continue broadcasting the gospel message across the globe. So whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly offering, every donation, large or small, makes a real difference. And again, it is all fully tax-deductible. Now, you can support us by shopping with our trusted affiliates at lastchristian.net. And when you buy, they give and we grow. There's Everyday Dose Coffee, where you start your day strong with a delicious mushroom-based coffee alternative that fuels your mind and body without the crash. And both David and I drink this every day. Then there is the Conservative Store, where you can wear your values with pride and stock up on patriotic gear, gifts, and apparel that stand for truth and freedom. We also have the affiliate of Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, clean, natural, no-nonsense nutrition made from time-tested ingredients that your body will thank you for. And lastly, but not least, is Christian Book. From Bibles to devotionals to homeschool resources, they've got everything you need to grow in faith and share it boldly. Visit lastchristian.net today to donate or shop with a purpose. Together, we're reaching the world for Christ, one message at a time. Okay, now we're beginning to run low here on time in the first part of the show. David, where do you want to take us next? I mean, I know so little about this topic, but I want to make sure that everybody understands this is a very important one. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge because, there's lots of things we're going to talk about. We'll get into the flat earth stuff. Like you said, we send a message around the globe, and that is correct. Mm-hmm. So we'll delve into that. We'll delve into time looping. Some things that even our realm of people don't dig into much, because on a quantum level, there is the possibility of time looping, but you'd have to get outside our dimensions. Bring in little Salvador Dali and his Corpus Christi, talk about that, and just on and on and on. There's a myriad of topics we can really talk about. And then I think one of the bigger ones is how it's pointing to the end. We see the earthquakes that are happening. They're crazy. We see all the flooding that's happening around the world. It's crazy. And whether it's naturally derived or man-made, the point is they're there. However they got there, there they are. And the pole shift, you know, we just had a pole shift. How many degrees was it off? Like 3 degrees, Nestor?
I actually didn't see too much on the news of that.
When you told me yesterday on the news, they don't want people to.
You're not going to say anything good. Around the world. Yeah, the only good news we had is here.
Since July 4th, I think it's shifted like 3 degrees, which is huge because we got, you know, 21 degrees. So, and then the solar flares and just on and on. You can see the birth pains. So we're going to be talking about the birth pains and encouraging people to receive the Lord before this all crashes.
Yeah, right.
Come and spin it back up again like a top. He said, "Oh, wait, here, I'll come back and spin it back up. And in 1,000 years, he's going to reign. It's going to be cool." Yeah. So we got 2 minutes. Nestor, tell them how they can be saved before we get out to the second half, and then I'll close it up.
How can they be saved? It's just as easy as just confessing your sin and just saying, "Lord, here I am. Forgive me of my sin. And if you would forgive me, then I'll be yours." And it just starts with a quick prayer, just saying, "Lord, forgive me for my sin. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I fall short every day of your law. And just thank you for sending Jesus Christ down onto earth to be the mediator between me and you, and to just break every chain, every generational chain, every just curse that has been placed upon me by the enemy. And Lord, if we can just start once again today and just step 1 foot in your kingdom, then let's do it." And it's just as easy as that.
Yeah, it is. I know a lot of churches will have, say 3 Hail Marys and call me in the morning, or spin the prayer wheel, or count the beads, yeah, you know, all this other nonsense. But the bottom line, and we talk about this a lot, especially because the book's coming out, is a contract. You made a contract with the devil. It says, you sinned, you have to die. But Jesus said, "I'll become a man and I will die for you and pay off that contract." That's a very simple mode, and it's extremely deep. But that's what the Bible is. It's extremely simple for a child to understand, but extremely deep as well. So we're going to tie all of the stuff we talk about in shadows back to another thing the church doesn't talk about. It is literally a blood contract. We're going to iron out some Christianese that's out there. Oh, well, here we have a covenant. Well, what does that mean? You know, yeah. And exactly all these different things. But we got a whole lot to talk about, and we're going to catch up in the second half. In the meantime, don't get raptured without us. We'll talk to you in a bit. Bye.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run With Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Break free from fear, pain, and spiritual confusion. Step into total freedom with Rena Lynn, author, speaker, and host of the bold new radio show airing Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. Rena Lynn brings you real talk on real issues, narcissistic abuse, spiritual warfare, and the emotional battles we all face. With biblical insight and raw honesty, she helps you confront darkness and step into healing. Explore her gripping preparation for the End book series, including the latest release, Intriguing Truth, A Powerful Journey of Faith, Trauma, and Redemption. Dive into her books, sign up for the newsletter, and discover upcoming challenges designed to help you walk the walk, take spiritual authority, and find your ministry. Join the movement. Find your voice. Experience total freedom with Rena Lynn, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on RevelationRadio.net.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to support Christian values in a world that's turning further from truth? The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep the mission going. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net. Every gift matters, no matter the size. Or, here's the best part. You can help just by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book, each offering quality products you'll love. And every purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. Visit lastchristian.net today to stand with us, pray with us, and support the mission.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. We got Nestor. And Nestor, I'm not really sure how to pronounce your last name.
Arce,
okay. I made a mistake with a guy years ago, and I'm never going to do it again. And then, you know,
we go to England, it's called Arce.
Yeah. I was going to say, was the guy Scottish?
I'll kick you in your arse.
Well, you know, I wasn't going to go there, okay? David Paxton there in New York is on the left-hand side of the screen.
And will go there.
And we are talking about a brand new show. It comes out on Revelation Radio tomorrow night, Sunday, August the 2nd at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Right. And that is 8 p.m. Central.
And
it's
third.
Yeah, you're right. It is the third. I'm sorry. It's this show that's on the second. Yeah, this is. I was looking down here at my clock. Okay, it's the second. Anyway, I do have one more question for you guys.
And that is, you used up all your questions.
I'm gonna have to use a credit then.
All right. Well, Nestor has questions. I think you can ask one of his.
Okay. Why? How do you handle the Christian person that comes on here and says, "Oh, the occult? They're going to be talking about the occult." I mean, I know that's not it, but how do you deliver that message to the audience that you guys are going to get? And some of them are just going to see the title of the show and they're going to start commenting on YouTube right away, like, you know, this is the occult, stay away from it and all that. How are you going to address that with them?
It's really interesting because I've had encounters like that with other believers my whole life. Like whenever I would bring up these topics and personal topics too, because a lot of these experiences, one of the reasons I speak about them is because I've had personal experiences with the paranormal. In fact, in the very first episode, I share my testimony or a part of my testimony where I ended up growing up in a haunted house during my teen years, during the times where I got saved. And so when I would bring this up to people at the church I was going to at the time, they would just turn their back. They would just flee the other way. And, oh man, this kid must be possessed or something. But it was really interesting because at that time, that experience, while it may look dark and part of the occult, that really opened me up to the fact that, well, if there are malevolent forces out in the world, then that means there has to be benevolent forces, right? And so when people, you know, come to me now and they see like these conversations or like maybe they see the show and they're like, why are you guys talking about dark stuff? Well, the world's not shying away from it. So why should we? The difference is that we have an answer outside of that darkness and the answer is Christ. And I think that's where we have to make that the differentiation where C.S. Lewis, that famous quote where he talks about, you know, there's two mistakes that people can make when it comes to the talk about demons. They can either completely be so obsessed with them that that's all they talk about and that's all they focus where they succumb to darkness, or they can completely just ignore the subject and fall into darkness either way. Well, our show is about coming to the middle in the sense where it's like we reject both sides of that spectrum and we want to come and just have both of these sides just join us in the middle path that leads to the kingdom of heaven, that leads to the truth, and not just acknowledge the fact that, yes, these things are occult, but these things have no power over us, and that we don't need to fear any of these, I guess, powers of the air or spiritual forces, because we are walking in the path that Christ wants us to walk in. And we also, most importantly, we also have authority over these things. So there's no need to fear. There's no need to, you know, be shy about talking about these subject matters. In fact, there's so many believers, you know, that they've practiced darkness. They've practiced witchcraft, Satanism. They've been in New Age. And because, you know, people like us came out of the woodwork and were willing to have these really uncomfortable conversations with them in that place, they came to the kingdom of God. So I think in our modern age, as you're seeing more focus and more push towards the New Ageism and towards the occult, I think Christians need to start getting deep into these conversations and just starting to come out and say, hey, like, there's a better way forward. And that means sometimes you're going to have to get into just muddy waters.
Well, now, real quick here, and then David can comment. Do you guys see yourself sort of like Noah? Like the days of Noah, I mean, humanity was corrupt as all get out back then. And I'm sure he was yelling, you know, hey, come on, you know, get it together or whatever. But David, I'll let you comment first.
Yeah, we're actually the Joel 2 version, I guess. You know, we're here where the old men will see visions and young men will dreams, something like that, right along those lines. But here, who we are, it started in Pentecost, but remember, it's the end of the age, and the signs always bunch up at the end of the ages, like in the very beginning, you know, that's what started the church, and here at the end, that's where all the signs and wonders will bunch up, and the miracles. I think the bigger problem is, you know, the church is at large, in general, and I'm, you know, not saying everybody, because we go to a pretty good church, actually. The in general, what we would term the church, the mainstream would term the church, they're just lost, and, you know, they're busy criticizing all of these different things, and they're like blind. So they go, oh, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, but they're not realizing that witchcraft, you know, that's manipulation. It's, if you're just, you know, getting someone, oh, it's okay, I'll just sit here in the dark trying to get them to turn the light on, that's witchcraft, when you're trying to manipulate someone into doing stuff. And they do this all the time in the church. Gossip is a form of witchcraft, and it's a worse sin than any of that stuff. Gluttony, you know, is a sin, and it's right up there with adultery, okay? Gluttony is horrible. It's rampant. Just look at the average U.S. person and tell me gluttony is not a problem. So all this different manipulation. And I need to remind everybody about, I don't know if you ever heard of Paul the Apostle.
Yeah. Okay.
You ever heard of him? Yeah.
Absolutely.
He wrote a couple of books in the New Testament. Okay. But he was well learned in all the Greek stuff. Just his one discourse, I believe it was in Acts, he quotes from three different Greek writers. Okay, so to just say, oh, well, they're this and that and the other, no. And he's like, oh, that unknown God you're talking about? Did he say, oh, we can't talk about the unknown God? No. He turned it around and used the unknown God and said, well, let me tell you who that unknown God really is. And that would be Yahweh, the creator. So he told him. So he took all that stuff. He took all the Greek pagan writings. He took all the myths that were out there, Diana and the unknown God. And he took them and he turned people back to Christ with that narrative.
Okay. Ghostbusters. Okay. I'm just going to say it right off, you know.
Yeah. That was horrible when they redid it with the women on it. I don't even know why. That was so woke. But,
you know, my question is here, you know, is there, I'm sure you are at some time or another, you're going to have somebody either be on your show or email you and say, you know, I've been to a haunted house and, you know, this was moving and that was moving and all this other stuff. And, you know, are you Ghostbusters? Are you somebody that can come in there and fix this for me? How are you going to address some question like that from somebody just, you know, they're clueless as far as scripture goes, but they're all full of this haunted house crap.
Did we talk about that on our first show, Nestor? Our first recording?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that, you know, and again, I don't want to ruin the ending of the testimony, but, you know, basically, let's put it this way. I used the authority that Christ had given me, and I dealt with that situation. But yeah, I can see like how, let's say somebody who comes on the show comes in, like let's say we bring in a ghost hunter, and let's say they come in and they say, hey, like, how do I like deal with these things that are happening in the house? You know, how do I deal with these, you know, how do you explain like my, I don't know, cupboard, you know, my cupboard door opening and closing at like 2 a.m., you know, and this is where you have to just sit down with like these people and just have that conversation and explain to them, well, you know, like it looks weird because us as human beings, we're used to just seeing things in the natural. But I think once you establish the baseline, right, we live in a world that was created by a supernatural being, and that from the baseline that we are in essence supernatural beings because we came from a supernatural creator, these things are not that crazy, right? They're, you know, so while it might seem weird because we've never experienced it, this has happened for thousands of years through like people throughout, you know, for people throughout the world. So let's just establish that and kind of just normalize the situation. You're not alone. And number two, if the person is a Christian or if they're not, then we would then explain to them the gospel and then kind of just go into the fact that, look, like Jesus came down. He basically had authority over these things, right? They're demons, right? And actually, I'm reading this book right now where they go into it basically explains how Jesus himself didn't just come down to save souls, but he explicitly came down to go to each of the enemy's territories and basically wage war. Like in scripture, he says, on this rock, I will build my church. And if you study that story, David, remind me, I think this happened in the Temple of Pan where Jesus
the cave of Pan.
Yeah. And so, you know, and then there has been so much
right at the bottom of Mount Hermon.
There you go. And Mount Hermon was where the, let's say the rebellion happened, right? Like at least the beginning of the rebellion where the angels, the 200 angels came together and said, hey, we're going to go down and we're just going to sleep with all these women and all these human and basically pollute the gene pool and basically just stop the savior from coming to fruition in the future. Cause that's part of why these things came down and they basically just started manipulating humanity's gene pool. But yeah, just explain to them that all these spiritual situations, these are all spiritual battles. And whenever a spiritual battle comes up, we have to be reminded of the authority that we have in Christ.
Okay. Well, you know, I can only go by me. Okay. And I have never, ever, ever experienced a haunted house. So because of that, anytime somebody brought something up about there being a haunted house, I was like, okay, you're crazy. You know, you're just out of your mind. But the truth is, David, that there's always been that evil. There's always been that evil spirit in this world. And I think that's something that you guys will probably address pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll let you explain it.
Well, the fun part is, you know, people think, oh, the chair moved or the candle went out or all this. I could do all that stuff. I can move these chairs all day long. So it's not like it's a big deal. So I don't know why people get scared because the door closed or the chair, other than the fact
that it didn't scare me, David. I just didn't believe in it. You know, it did not scare me. I just simply didn't believe in it. That's all.
Well, I'm saying, okay. And then there's some people who like, they'll get terror. Oh, look at that. It's like, yeah, okay. So it closed the door. So just try and get it to build a house. It can't because it's, yeah.
Right.
You know? And we have to recognize that they figured out some way they can reach into our world and somehow maneuver this. So this does this and this does that. But the bottom line is they don't have a body. they can't manipulate in this world. So what they, that's why they try to inhabit people. Okay.
Right. Right.
Now a fallen angel can manifest as a person. But the vast majority of events that are happening is just a demon infiltrating a body so they can use that body to manipulate themselves in this world. But it, it all goes back to this too. You know, the, yes, these do have some limited power because Jesus himself said, I give you power and authority over the demons. Well, over what? If they're useless and powerless completely, then what's the use of having power over them? It'll just, you know, you just step on them. So there is, but you got to recognize he gave us power over them. And he is called the Most High God. Okay. Mm. He is the one who has all power. So he has rule and authority above and beyond any of these other things, which is some of the reasons that, you know, you don't read it. You don't need a fancy ritual. You know, when I was young in the Lord, I'd be, yeah, we'd go out and we'd yell at demons and this and that and the other. And it was more because it was fun to go do when I was a teenager, you know. Hey, this is fun. Let's go yell at some demons, and you know, and is it? And then I come to realize, wait, you don't have to yell at them. I just kind of show up now, and they're like, they're terrified. Remember what happened, you know, with the demons? And he says, "Oh, Paul, I know, and Peter, I know, but who are you?" Yeah. They said, "Just the shadow of Peter would drive out these demons." Uh-oh. Yeah, and it's not like the shadow had any power. It just meant, oh crap, Peter's nearby. We better get out now.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. And it, yeah, again, shadows of a greater reality. It just kind of fits right along with that.
Okay. Now yeah, here's another one for you guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. I used to watch this show. I don't watch it anymore because I'm a Christian now. But there used to be the show, and I don't know, it may still be on it, and I can't remember the exact name of it, but something like it was the Medium of New Jersey or something like that. It was some lady.
Oh, Long Island, I think.
Yeah, and yeah, Long Island Medium, I think that was the name of it.
Yeah.
She would always go in and just up to some random person, supposedly. She would walk up to them and say, you know, I've been in touch with the people on the other side, and they're fine, and all of this kind of stuff. Now, you guys aren't doing that, obviously, but what do you think of somebody that does that, or, and more importantly, the person that believes that they have been in touch with, you know, Aunt Carol or, you know, Daddy or whatever? How do you handle something Ethel? Like that?
Not Aunt Ethel. I don't know. You want to go, Nestor, or you want me to tell them how crazy they are?
Well, the only thing that I will say is this, like, a lot of the times there have been cases where, sure, like those cases are just fake, right? Like you have people that are easily manipulated, but then you also have cases that are truly supernatural where they are communicating with spirits. And so those experiences, I don't doubt those experiences, but I do question what kind of spirit those people are communicating with, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And so that in itself is also like a topic we can also get into. Like we can even like go back to scripture. We can talk about the Witch of Endor, right? When Saul went to the Witch of Endor to just conjure up a spirit, then sure enough, the spirit of Samuel came up from the ground and rebuked Saul for right. being conjured up, which right. I thought it was hilarious. Like here you are, like you're just conjuring up the spirit, and the spirit is like, hey, why are you doing this? Like, I told you, like, you're going to lose. Like, I've always found that story just ironically hilarious. But yeah, I think whenever you're messing with just mediums, witchcraft, it's kind of like the equivalent of, let's say you're just sending out a signal into space, or you go into like a dark tunnel and you just start yelling, hey, is anybody there? You don't know what's going to come out from the other side. And so I think that's really, at least for me, that's really dangerous because, you know, in the abyss, you know, that's where all of the fallen angels hang out at. So I would not be surprised if you're yelling into the abyss and saying, hello, is anybody there? And you're getting a response from one of these Nephilim spirits and saying, yeah, I'm your auntie or your grandma, or I'm like your dog who died like 2 years ago. So yeah, I think there is a great spiritual danger when people do practice mediums.
So it's I'm gathering from that they could be easily imposters. It's not really the person, but somebody.
Oh, it's never that person. No.
Yeah. Okay, David, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I just remember Jim Carrey in The Grinch when he was yelling into the valley, you know, and he'd hear the echo come back and he'd be like, hey, Merry Christmas. And then Merry Christmas come back. And finally, at the end, it end, he says, oh, I know how I'm going to get this echo. He says, I'm an idiot. And the echo comes back, you're an idiot.
I remember that.
Yeah. That's what that reminds me of, because that's exactly how much of a joke it is. Even Harry Houdini set out and he proved that these seances, the vast majority of them were charlotons. It's as simple as that. Right. Mm-hmm. And why? Because there are maybe once in a while you run across someone who actually can do that, but they're possessed to no end and you need to run far away. But they realize that people will pay a lot of money for that. So you just wind up with all the fakes. Okay. Just like banana ball tickets, you know, you can't get them. So there's a lot of fakes out there and people are selling tons and tons of different types of fakes. And you got to realize something. Now, a kidnapper, if he wants to gain the upper hand in a child, he'll go find out about this child. This is why I don't recommend you put all sorts of information on your social media about your kid. Because he's just going to follow your page and, oh, they went to the birthday party. The mom's name is June, you know, and this is their birthday. And, oh, remember me, I'm your Uncle Bob. So they get all this information that try and make the kid feel secure. Oh, just come with me. Yeah, your mom told me to come and get you. We're going over to Aunt Ethel's house, and we're going to get candy. Remember, you got candy in your birthday party 2 days ago? Well, it's over there right now. And this is what they do.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the kidnapper. Yeah. That's exactly what these demons do. They know if they're a real demon person and not one of the charlatans, the demons are just following that person around and said, oh, okay, well, and they're sitting listening to you. Oh, I hope Aunt Ethel comes up. You know how I'm going to know it's Aunt Ethel? Is she's going to tell me about that $5 bill she gave me when she was 100. And, you know, demon's listening. And then all of a sudden, Aunt Ethel comes out. Hey, Junior, remember that $5 bill I gave you when you were 100? Because they were watching your Facebook posts.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not because they're real or, oh, look, they knew. Yeah, they knew because they're watching you from the shadows. Yeah. And their evil intent is there. So, yeah, there are a handful of real ones, all right, but they're still wicked, and you still need to stay away. Matter of fact, if they do know stuff like that, you need to stay further away. I'd rather be near the charlatan so I can call them out. But you got a real demon in there. You're like, listen, I'm going to pee on your shoe, and I'm out.
Right. Nestor, what do you got to add to that?
You know, when you were explaining all that, I just thought of the beginning of The Exorcist, right? When they were having just a big excavation scene in the middle of the desert, and they have that giant statue of Pazuzu. And then, like, they cut to, like, Linda Blair's room, and, like, she's just talking to, like, some imaginary friend, right? Like, this is how it always starts. They just come from a place of vulnerability. And all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I'm talking to, like, this really friendly imaginary friend, and his name is Captain Howdy, and we're just like having tea time in our room. And that's really important because it's really fascinating how that is very similar to how a lot of like predators work in real life. Just how like when they try to groom children, they kind of just start from a place of friendship. And so demons do the same thing with young children, and they do the same thing with humans. It starts out innocently. They come to you from a place of vulnerability. In fact, there's a lot of stories of exorcisms where they come to people during their most vulnerable times. Like maybe they're having some mental health issues, maybe a spouse or one of their like family members passed away, and then they'll come and they'll start either masquerading as them or saying, hey, I'm an angel from the Lord, you know, and maybe you should, you know, open up that Ouija board or go to like a toy store and get that Ouija board so maybe we can get you in contact with your daughter. And this is how it always starts. But in reality, what they're doing is that they're just tricking you into opening up a portal in your own home so that way they could just have access to your home, to your life, and ultimately to your soul. So yeah, there's a lot of danger to this to this whole phenomena.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned the Ouija board, and there was a time I was probably in my 20s, maybe. I went to a house party, and they had one of those things, you know.
Yeah.
And now, I didn't take it seriously. It was, to me, it was a joke. And by the way, I never went back there again because it was just too weird. You know, but this, I couldn't see where the thing worked at all. But anyway, I wanted to change the subject here for a second and go to interfaith or other faith, maybe is a better way to say it. I had a friend in church that, you know, was a young guy and he went on a tour and went to Japan and went to an area there that was, you know, it's a like a Buddhist place. And he said that when he walked into that area, you know, again, with a tour group, you know, this wasn't by choice, with a tour group, he walked in, he said he could feel the evil. Now, do you guys, or are you going to be talking any about things like the Buddhist religion, the Hindus, and all of that, and putting that in, you know, and doing it in such a way that you don't like, okay, they're just bashing my thing, I'm going to leave. Or how do you do it to where you can keep that interest and hopefully convert them from going the wrong direction?
Well, that's all up to the Lord, ultimately. Right. You know, and I am, you know, an equal opportunity offender. I don't care who you are. If it's the truth, it's the truth. And it's just as simple as that. You know, I have this argument all the time with these evolutionists, and they're trying to, like, oh, well, but there's this and there's that. I said, do you believe that God created everything? Because if you don't, you're just too stupid to even have a conversation with to figure out how it changed over the years. If it if it didn't get here to begin with, how did it change from all that? So I don't cater to people. Now, if they're seriously hurting and they're looking for answers, that's completely different. Hey, let me walk you to the answers. But if you're going to come in and try and be all right, well, let's find out who's right, you know. Hey, let's maybe your guy went to the bathroom, you know. Hey, let's pour water on this and see if God sets ours on fire. How about that?
Remember, you know? From the Bible,
Elijah.
You know, let your God go first, you know. That is a great story for what I think you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's exactly that. Now we're going to be the Elijah of today. Oh, maybe we'll be the two witnesses. Who knows after all these years? wouldn't that be something?
Hey, those shadow guys, they wound up being the two witnesses. that'd be
pretty interesting. Yeah, maybe I'll get to go to Jerusalem after all.
Well, hang up. Hey, look, right, play dead for 3.5 days.
Go. We're getting down here to the end of the show, but before we run out of time, I want to once again put this up there and remind everybody that this has been a special presentation of Shadows of a Greater Reality, but actually the show debuts tomorrow night, Sunday, August the 3rd at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Time. Now, aliens, ghosts, secret societies, ancient myths, dare to ask the deeper question, not just what is truth, but who is truth. And, of course, we know who is truth. Mm-hmm. David, finish out the show for me, would you?
Yeah, we secured whoistruth.com as well, and we'll be building that out. So keep looking for that. In the meantime, you can send me an email, thehiddenday@protonmail.com, if you have any questions. And then here we are. We're at the end of the age, folks. So if we don't make it to the show because of the rapture, we got to tell you now, you committed the sins, okay? You violated the terms and conditions of the original contract. That's the deal. You need to admit that, because if you don't admit that, then God has nothing to forgive you of, but you still have to go before the court and answer to that. And the wages of sin is death, which means now you got to be separated. Now, Jesus said, I will pay for that. He came down as a man and paid that all for you. So just accept his contract, walk in his ways, and Lord willing, we'll see you on the next show.
You've been listening to The Last Christian Radio Show, where biblical truth meets headline reality, and prophecy is never fiction. We're on the air every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, boldly proclaiming the gospel and warning a world on the brink. But we can't do it alone. Your support makes the mission possible to speak the truth, reach the lost, and prepare the world for the return of Jesus Christ. Visit lastchristian.net and help us continue broadcasting the unfiltered, uncensored truth to the nations. Whether it's a one-time gift or by shopping through our trusted partners, Every action you take fuels the message. So stay informed, stay bold, and above all, stay ready, because the trumpet could sound at any moment. Until next time, good night and God bless.